All right, Adam, you got this. Too long you've relied on Susan and Shamanda and Crashly and Dirk, not CEJ, but you've relied on those friends of yours to defend you. But now you gotta fry up some howling monsters. So you just gotta use this flamethrower, which, you know, is pretty self-explanatory. It throws flames, you point it, and it does it. And you gotta kick this monster's tuchus. No. You gotta kick this monster's ass. That's right, Adam. You're an ass kicker, okay? You take names, you kick asses, and today is the day that you're done taking names and you're just kicking asses, and you'll take names later if you have to, but right now we're focusing on the ass. Not in a sexual way, in an ass-kicking way. Okay, let's do this.
Hello, friends in an alternate future. Welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of hunting howlers and recuperating reckoners in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the initiate. And I just have to say, I think I'm going to pull through this.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play Adam Miller, the weird scientist, and I came here to kick some ass and drink some Sprite, and I'm all out of Sprite.
Hi, this is Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the Chosen, and I do not like the sounds coming out of this monster that's chasing me and Adam, not just because like I generally don't like monster sounds, but this one sounds specifically like the sounds that were coming out of my mom's bedroom one time when Uncle Charlie came to visit. And then she said it was his sciatic nerve. I don't know about that.
Yes. I hope that's not Crashly's mom's brother.
No, it's not.
No, my God.
No, it's not. No. But thank you for checking. Yeah, Uncle had quotes around it.
Okay, clear that from your mind, you dirty listeners.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claire Linick, and I play Susan Wexler, the expert. And with everything going on, I'm considering getting bangs.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the mundane. And it turns out explosions are a lot more supportive than we thought, because that last one really got my back. Oh, wow, wow, wow.
So, Jeff, I just want to talk through that with you just real quick while we're here in the before times. So you get to your stats are going to reset. So you can see at the top of this sheet, it says you can assign your stats in any order and you can see that. That's what it's going to be. All of your moves reset. So you don't all of those extra moves that Adam Miller did have. You're going to lose all of those except for weird science. You'll keep that.
Perfect.
Your luck does not reset. So I have everything there. So you just need to pick three moves from the existing moves that we have written out for the weird scientist. And then we'll put it in and start playing. I know you picked, you used destructive genius last time.
Yes.
So it seems like that maybe is one.
I think so. I was also, let's see. Yeah, I was just looking through the other ones. Also, quick question, looking at the sheet, we have, so for the luck cost, something about this moment defies your expectations. You must study it further. What does that mean? I learned something?
If I burn luck? So a lot of the luck costs are basically things of like, you use your luck and then it affects the storyline further, right? So like an example is when anytime Shamanda uses luck, something goes wrong for the dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, I got to send a voicemail to
Whoopi. Right. Anytime Susan uses luck, she discovers that what currently is happening is related to something that she was involved in years ago. Like usually that means like, whatever's currently happening is related to either Lamau or when she was an assassin, those types of things. So they're supposed to be luck points. The mundanes is weird because the mundane is just like purely a positive. But most of the time, spending luck means that your kind of specific playbook, you get a new kind of hook, like a new plot hook. So my idea for it was to say, anytime you use luck, something happens in such a way that you're going to tell me what about it is counter to what you as a scientist would have expected. Mm-hmm. And then you are going to, as much as you want or not, going to be like, oh, I need to figure out why it happened that way instead of a different way. It basically is like the dad in Fringe, or maybe like Fox Mulder in X-Files, or even like any Jeff Goldblum scientist character, where you're a little like, ooh, I have to study this. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of the idea that I had for it. If you have an idea of something else that you want to do instead, that's totally fine. But you just want anytime you spend luck to somehow give you a little plot hook or the potential for one.
Cool. I love it. Cool. I think I'm picking destructive genius, ego transformation, and engineering.
Okay. Ego transformation and engineering. And obviously also, Jeff, with these, we mm-hmm. are going to play these a little bit by ear in terms of like these might get tweaked as we go. If it's like, actually, this move doesn't make sense or is not working super well.
Totally.
Okay, Jeff. So you have your three moves in your sheet.
Yeah. And I think my area of study will be, you know, technical, like electronics.
Electronics. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great. I wasn't sure if it was going to be that or food science.
I mean, honestly...
Food science.
I do like food science. Yeah. But electronics makes more sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a minor in food science.
Okay.
So you have your food handler's permit?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say electronics, minor in food science then.
Mm-hmm. Most of my electronics use food. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. And you have a Tamagotchi in your chest.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Oh, you Iron Man yourself.
Yeah.
It's keeping me alive. If ever it does, if I forget to feed it, I may die.
Where we left off, Shemanda and CEJ are recovering from some major harm on the floor of the Bramer Community Center while Susan is on alert, watching, and concerned. While Susan is dealing with a very important phone call with Crashly, because Crashly and Adam were left behind. They have been moving to catch up with the other three at the Bramer Community Center in Barora, Nebraska, but they are currently stuck at the Barora Cooperative Tire Shop.
Yeah.
And you have discovered from Susan that you are being hunted by two Ozark Howlers, presumably merged with Bondelgrab buds, and you had just seen one of them come out of the car bay, the sort of the bay under in the floor where a mechanic would work, creeping up towards you. You have no idea where the other one is. Adam Miller, you had used your abilities to make a flamethrower for Crashly, and you also found one yourself, so you are each equipped with a flamethrower. The one that Crashly has, I believe, will only work three times.
They each have three charges.
Okay, great.
Yeah, or I guess I gave Crashly the real flamethrower I found, and I'm using the one I made because I'm smaller.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that, though, that each one has three charges. So you each have three charges on your flamethrower. Adam and Crashly, let's start with you on this because I think you're in the almost literal hot seat. What you see before you looks to be dark black fur, almost that kind of black fur where it has like a silver sheen to it because it's so dark. It is wide in shoulder. It's quadrupedal. It looks kind of like a mix between a black bear and a leopard. Long claws. It's walking forward, but it also has horns on it, so there is a little bit of a, like, almost like a goat mixed into it around the head and face. It looks terrifying, and you can hear just a low, like, as it is starting to call out. What are you two doing in this moment?
No, am I still on the phone with Susan?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember Susan and Crashly because it's been a little bit. Yeah. Were you two still on the phone with each other?
Do not remember hang up, if I'm being honest. But I would be fine. I'd be fine playing it on, or if you just want to hang up right away, it wouldn't hurt my feelings.
No, I was just going to say, I was just going to yell into the phone like, what's its weakness, Susan? What's its weakness?
Okay, perfect. Can I roll lore library?
You did last time and you didn't know.
Okay, so, okay. That's what I didn't remember. Right.
So I do remember that that happened. Susan and Crashly attempted to confirm on that, but Susan unfortunately just has never really dealt with an Ozark Howler.
Problem.
And doesn't really know what it fears.
Then I'm going to shoot it with a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As you do, Crashly seems like it's a roll to kick some ass.
Yeah.
This thing is directly in front of you, so it is charging forward at the same moment that you are releasing flame on this. So go ahead and roll to kick some ass.
Okay.
Adam Miller, are you also releasing or
doing the same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a six.
Okay, then Adam, I would say we'll call this a help out since you are kind of doing the same thing, but Crashly's taking the lead on it. So Adam, since you are now the weird scientist, you no longer have the power of heart.
Oh,
as you once did.
Oh no!
I feel a little colder
but Jeff
inside.
Jeff does
absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, as we switch over to your new improved Adam Miller, yeah, you lose the power of heart. You lose oops. You lose a lot of your mundane abilities. As
I don't feel improved.
Yeah. Well, here's what it is, Adam. It's once you landed and you revealed the Tamagotchi in your chest. It's like. You can't put the Tamagotchi back in the pocket once it's installed in the chest. You know?
The power of heart. I had to remove the heart and put in a Tamagotchi.
That is right. You can see in this moment that like, and honestly, Adam, I think like it is kind of interesting to me because you studied with Dr. Einajar for quite some time. And like, you know, he seemed to take an interest in you. And this is a moment where you realize it's almost like, I think what you have in this moment is, Adam, you've been having this weird relationship with what you learned at the technical college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you're landing, you're remembering the experience of talking to Brian in the simulation.
Brian.
Who eventually got revealed to be a young version of Dr. Einajar before you shut him down.
Wait, what? For real?
Yeah. Do you not remember this?
I remember.
Okay.
Oh, that was pretty cool. That you did.
Thanks.
Oh, I see. And Brian, one thing Brian did show you that it's about the choices we make, not our essential nature, right? Because Brian was willing and interested in being good, even though who he became was somebody who is not. And you realize in this moment, as you're getting ready for all of this, you switch over and embrace. You can take the skills that you learned from Dr. Einajar without becoming the man that Dr. Einajar was. And you have full access to your weird scientist self. So anyway, you are going to roll plus cool to help out.
Yeah, I am. And I rolled an 8.
An Woo. 8. Okay, great.
Woo.
Woo.
Woo. So Crashly, that means Adam Miller, you are going to give advantage to Crashly, but you are also going to expose yourself to trouble or danger. So Crashly, go ahead and re-roll one of your dice and we will see what happens here.
Hell yeah.
Bring
it. Okay. I got an 8 this time.
Nice.
Okay, great. So you and your target inflict harm on each other as this thing barrels forward into you. So Crashly, you are going to release the flamethrower. Let's see. Susan has the stats for a flamethrower. So that's 3 harm, close, heavy, volatile. So the howler grob is going to take 3 harm.
Nice.
Howler grob.
As it is lanced in.
Howler grob.
However, Crashly, this thing is barreling forward. It has a lot of just physical momentum. As it's charging, and it is close enough that it is going to rake its claws at you. It's not close enough to get its bite in, but it is close enough for the claws. You are going to take 2 harm.
Oh, no.
As it does that.
Oh, no.
But it is pushed back from the flame. You hear it scream this just truly awful scream. I'm going to play it once right now for our listeners to hear. And then after that, I just want you to imagine it happening. Because it's honestly just too awful for me to put in every time.
Oh,
Tyler really hates this noise.
I really don't like this noise.
Oh, I'm scared.
It screams like that. In that moment, Crashly, so you are taking 2 harm.
Uh-huh. So I'm critical now.
Why?
Oh.
Yeah.
Crash.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, well, well. So a few things happen. First and foremost,
God damn.
Adam Miller, Yeah. When you hear that howl, you need to roll plus cool as it screams.
Okay. I'm not cool, Tyler. It's a 7.
You get rattled.
Oh, I'm rattled.
By this, honestly. You get pretty rattled. You're going to have disadvantage the next time you roll a move.
Damn.
Okay.
And I think part of the reason that you get rattled is not just from hearing this howl. It's from hearing the responding howl that's behind you. As you realize that there is another one there. Are you turning to look for the other one, or are you staying focused on the one in front of you?
The old Adam would freak out and turn to look. So this one's staring straight at him.
Baller. I love it. Crashly, you are critical.
Yeah.
So that means Crashly, in this moment, as you hit critical, you are on the cusp. You're right on the edge. You know, basically, if anything else happens, you are going to die.
Yeah.
That realization and that feeling yourself right up against that cliff of annihilation, because truly, again, Crashly, you are a spirit possessing a body and you have been barred from the afterlife by Susan's spell. Yeah. So if you die, your spirit goes nowhere. That energy is destroyed. The universe is profaned. And in that moment, we cut over to Derek Pfeiffer. Derek, what are you doing right now?
I think so that the camera, if there is such a thing, kind of like swooshes and then melts through the like threads of reality, kind of like slowly pull apart and unravel for us to see into this extra dimensional space that Derek has fled to. And in it, it's this like bizarre, really hard to parse non-Euclidean realm where like okay, Claire. I said a word with clit in it, everyone.
I did not catch that.
It's Euclidean. What's that word mean?
Space. where like just it doesn't make any particular logical sense to look at based on the world we live in. But Derek is everywhere in it all at once. And I think at this point he's probably eschewed his sort of mortal suit.
You shredded it.
It broke apart.
Yeah, it's gone. It's completely gone. And so all around this, basically everywhere you look or try to look, it just feels like you're on the kind of like the inside of a sphere where every space around you is curved and nothing leads to anything else. And everywhere in that sphere, or like coating it all around you everywhere, are just eyes. And they're forlorn, like sad, deeply saddened eyes. And they're all closed. Derek was a watcher once long and long ago, and now he refuses to see.
Oh, wow. Buddy.
Wow. So sad.
And in that moment, Derek, of complete desolation and isolation, you experience two things, one, a tug, and one, a realization. The tug is you, as all angels, as we established with James. Angels have the divine chore wheel. They work as a collective to keep the universe running. You all have a chore. You take it. Your chore that you took on originally was to be a watcher, and then it was to protect Crashly. That is your divine. That is the chore that you took on. If you don't do that chore doesn't get done. That's the nature of it. And just to say, because I think it's fun, I realized at one point thinking about this, really the only difference between demons and angels is demons refuse to do their chores. Like demons don't do the chore wheel. Angels do the chore wheel.
Stinkers.
Chores are lame.
Yeah. Chores, yeah. We'll see. And you know who would agree with you? Ryder Strong. Ryder Strong would agree with you.
Wow.
My dad?
Yeah, wow. Your dad would Papa? Agree with you.
Papa, can you hear me?
So
Papa Strong?
Derek, so your chore is still that. You feel a tug on that. And that leads to the realization. And the realization is Crashly is not gone. What do you do in this moment?
All the eyes open at once. There's an infinite number of them. It's like being completely encased in like a
one of those astronomy domes, or like those, you know, those movie theaters they have at the mm-hmm. museum.
Yeah.
But if it was on under your feet too, and all the eyes open, they're all different colors and sizes and like shapes. And they all pull towards the center, if there was such a thing, of this space, and just kind of like become a blob of ever moving circuitous eyes. And then they compress like an octopus and like kind of like push out of the space through a tiny, almost like quarter sized hole, for those of our international listeners. A euro coin size hole, or, you know, whatever the major coin is of the denomination where you're from.
Think of the largest coin that you can get.
Biggest coin you would actually carry to spend? That's good question. That's the size of this hole.
Good question.
Economic inclusion work.
And what if your culture has no coins? Well,
oh, is that possible?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Is the size of a dollop of conditioner that you would use? Yeah.
And also apologies, because coins rule. They're clinky. Mm-hmm. They're heavy. They have a fun tactile
off
feel.
Track, baby. You're off track.
You can stamp
all kinds of fun stuff on them. Anyway, the eyes pour out of this hole. It's like a flood of these connected eyes, and they spill out into reality. And I would say that they probably come out wherever it was Derek left, which was like that little riverside.
Yeah, you were on the banks of the Mystery River just outside of Haverford in Mystery County. Derek, that's where you return.
Great. So without and not as a human being, but as the really uncomfortable to behold angelic form of Derek Pfeiffer, he emerges onto the riverbank, absolutely scaring the shit out of a turkey. That is just walking around.
Not only that, also scaring the shit out of the fishermen there. I guess at this point, you guys are kind of late day, kind of trying to get that golden hour fishing spot. You know, a lot of fish hit most in the evening or in the early morning. And Jim Nast, he likes to go fishing in the evening. So he's there. He's going back to cast, and he just goes, "Oh my God! Oh my God!" as he sees you just appear.
Do not
before
be
him.
Afraid.
I'm afraid. I am afraid.
No, do not be afraid.
Take what you want. I gotta go.
Oh, man, are you okay?
He starts to try to run, but he just keeps running into you somehow every which way he looks.
Hey, whoa, hey.
And I would like to coalesce around him in a comforting way.
Okay.
In a comforting way?
Well, I think let's have this be roll plus, I mean, I don't think you have any specific. Well, you know what? You do have a move similar to this, which is soothe. So if you want, you can just do that if you're trying to soothe him. So
wait, so I don't have to roll. I just.
You don't have to roll. Yeah, you just get to do it. Yeah.
So oh, you rolled so high.
If you did. I finally had a good roll.
Save it for the next
one. Well, otherwise, yeah. I was going to have you roll plus charm. So it's up to you.
Oh, he doesn't have a good charm, so never mind.
I don't need a roll, so
yeah, so you're just soothing him. Yeah, so you, as long as you're continuing to talk and you're quiet, your calming angelic voice that is quiet for an angel but still quite loud for anybody with human ears, you sort of physically and spiritually embrace
Gymnast.
And
hey,
he calms down. He remembers, well, no, I guess he still hasn't seen Kate and Leopold. He just thinks about what it would have been, which is sort of his go-to. Like Jim, anytime, you know, all of the struggle he had with his wife and everything, he always just thinks about how good he imagines Kate and Leopold was. And that calms him down. And so you just hear him being like, I mean, I have to imagine the chemistry between Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman must have been off the charts.
Yes, both of them were exemplary high school students.
And he's like a young Viola Davis in a breakout role.
Wow, Jim. Focus on whatever you're thinking about, but also I need a body.
Oh. Okay, so roll at this point to manipulate someone. You're trying to get him to let you use his body, correct?
Gymnast the rescue.
I rolled a four.
You going to the fish.
Okay.
I turned to the turkey. Forget gymnast.
Yeah, Jim's like, no, you can't have my body. No, I abjure you. No.
Okay, very well.
Let the power of Christ compel you. Get out.
What? Okay. Bye. And I float over to the turkey, and I'm going to try to get in the turkey body.
Oh, my God.
Yes, turkey. Do not be afraid.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say roll plus charm
dumb.
With advantage.
Roll plus dumb.
So you're going to try to possess the turkey. This should be very easy.
Claire, shut up. I have advantage.
He's actually like, do you?
Quite yeah. Right.
That's worse.
How?
I'm burning a luck.
All right, Derek, you're burning a luck?
I'm burning a luck, and because I'm burning a luck, I want to use the turkey to recreate Derek's old body.
Okay.
This does not harm the turkey because I would never do that. It just changes it.
Okay, so you want to turn nice. You. So let me understand this correctly. You want to try to turn the turkey into a human body without yeah. harming the turkey, but yeah. you are going to be residing inside of the turkey.
I will be. Yes.
He's doing okay. a Taylor Lautner if he wasn't a werewolf, but he was a turkey.
This is to become one, but turkey become one.
Turkey become one, indeed. You know, normally, obviously, this makes no sense within the rules, but it makes every sense within the fiction. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because when you spend a luck, you get word that your mission requires something to be done urgently. In this instance, that the universe literally... is going to be disrupted. If you don't do something right now, your chore fails. Crashly will die. She will disappear and cease to exist. The universe does not like things to cease to exist. It likes things to change and become new things because the universe is all about growth and progress. Though that becomes slow and painful, that is still its goal. And Crashly is in a position, through no fault of her or anyone else's, just where that is going to be denied to her. And you cannot abide that. So some things that normally the universe would not look kindly on, namely the forceful changing of shape from one animate being into a completely different form, almost a forced spiritual evolution, the universe is willing to look the other way on this because the universe is ultimately a pretty good manager. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to know when to break the rules to support the rules. Mm. So.
Truth.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to have you do then is roll plus weird for me, because we're going to use this loosely as like a use magic to see if there's any sort of glitch.
So on top of the...
So you're definitely going to succeed.
It's going to happen. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
You too. I rolled a two.
Alan! Okay, no!
There's a pretty unfortunate side effect to all of this.
Yes.
Oh no, the turkey becomes God.
I was gonna say, I'm the turkey, I roll to help.
I think there's a fusion process, and there's this like, it's kind of like that Beauty and the Beast moment where light pours out of the turkey's body and then it like slowly changes
what?
Shape.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, I am alive. And I become Derek Feather. So I retain the memories and like feelings of the turkey as it just like becomes absorbed into the consciousness of Derek Pfeiffer.
All right, yeah. So Derek Pfeiffer becomes a bit turkey-ish. Yeah.
Yes.
Great. Is there any physical observable?
Yeah, I keep the spurs.
Oh.
Whoa.
Turkey lurky time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So just like out of the, like, above where my Achilles tendon is sticking out of the back of my lower calves, there's just these like two sharp, like big bony spurs.
Yeah, just like rose thorns sticking out of the back of your legs. That's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I think what I'm going to say for this then, Derek, if you're cool with it, is anytime you take an emotional condition, I'm going to have you roll a plus whatever seems relevant at the time. And that will determine, and it's just going to be a success or failure. So it's just going to be a 7 up, everything's fine. 6 or lower, you're going to have a turkey instinct take over.
Yes.
In that moment. So that's just going to be a thing that will exist for us until such time as it makes sense that you move past that and get total control of your turkey self. Or find some way to create a new body and release the turkey back into its natural state. But Jim Nast watches in horror as this turkey contorts, shifts, moves, and it is not a smooth process. It is not like that light happens in everything that you describe. But also we watch a turkey shift over genuses, species, families. I think like in some respects, what happens is the turkey devolves back to the common ancestor between a turkey and a human, and then evolves forward into the humanness side of it. And Jim Nast has to watch that all happen at speed with horror in his eyes. And he's just like,
my gosh,
you would have done that to me?
No, no way.
Oh, wait, you're that kid I see around town.
Yeah, hey, Jim, thanks for those tickets. I gotta go now.
Oh.
And because I so distinctly feel like I'm still a turkey, I would like to attempt to fly to wherever Crashly is.
He doesn't know that turkeys can't fly.
What a good reference.
Wait, can turkeys not fly?
No, I mean, they can fly like 15 feet.
Yeah.
As God is my witness, Derek didn't know that turkeys couldn't fly.
And Alan literally just put in canned turkey and spam came up.
So
but just not for a long distance. Like I said, like 15
like a chicken.
Feet. Quarter of a mile is what they're saying.
Further than you can fly.
I don't need to be spoken to that way in front of all of our friends.
Okay. Well, all of y'all.
Since I'll never laugh again.
Yeah, no, turkey can fly for about a quarter of a mile. So you can do a quarter of a mile at a time.
Yeah. This is also just okay. Such
which
a funny reference to WKRP, which is an old TV show, has an incredible bit about turkeys and flying. And the fact that we just organically landed into it, I'm very impressed with. Okay, yeah, so you're going to try to fly, Derek. I mean, you do have one of your skills that you took was shapeshifter. So it makes sense to me that you can develop the kind of wings part of this. And I guess that's how all of this kind of makes sense. You're using that to make something else shapeshift. I mean, go ahead. Yeah, give it a shot. Roll plus weird. We'll see what happens. I'm not. Here's the one thing I will say. You cannot use a luck for this.
Hmm.
Well, what's your weird modifier? Yeah.
0.
Okay. What did you roll?
5.
That's hard. The rolls are hard today.
Honestly, yeah. Flying there, you might need to bounce or something, babe, to get there. And, like, no, like
okay,
literally.
Fine. I bounce to wherever Crashly is.
I feel like you would know how.
I also agree.
Yeah, to boom, bamf.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because there is a move that the divine has access to, which is doing exactly this, which is angel wings, but Derek does not have it. So I think, I think in this moment, Derek, you're going to have to.
There's a horsey again, horsey trotting around.
What is that?
Someone's typing. Someone
that's
typing.
Jeff typing on his keyboard.
Oh, sorry. I thought I muted myself. I'm looking up how long would it take a turkey to fly from Michigan to Nebraska? if it took a plane, it would be 11 hours and 45 minutes. No, that's not right. What is that?
That's a car
drive.
Oh, no, flying time from Michigan to Turkey. Oh, okay.
Turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to look up a turkey's average flying speed. It's about 55 miles per hour.
That's not slow.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That's
you know
highway
what?
Speed.
Here's what I'll say.
It's a road trip.
Let's see. And then how far is it from Nebraska to Michigan is... I am really trying to understand. Oh my gosh, this is so dumb to me. So it's like 750 miles.
Okay, great. So it takes me like 13 hours to get there.
Oh God,
you might want to just bamf. I don't know.
Yeah,
you got like 28 minutes.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say, Derek.
No, I'm on the way.
Yeah, so Derek, if you want to just fly, you have no limits, and you have shapeshifter, all of this stuff, so you can push your physical body past its turkey limits.
Oh my gosh!
To fly further distances than a normal turkey could. So if you want to, I will say
what is happening
with a combination of your shapeshifting ability and no limits. That if you want Derek Pfeiffer to sprout wings and start to turkey fly to Barora, Nebraska, you absolutely can. It is going to take you 13 hours to get there.
I'm flying, and for the record, I don't want to sprout wings. I just want to flap my human arms.
Okay.
Now, wait, is there a quicker way? Because we're all in trouble, Alan.
I think that bounce might be quicker.
Yeah, bounce might be.
Why don't you bounce, baby? Bounce, baby. Bounce.
Bounce, baby. Bounce.
I don't have that move though. The like.
Yeah, that would be a use magic move.
Like it feels. Right. I would love. I truly. This isn't like a me. You know, pushing buttons to see what happens. I truly don't. Of the moves that I have available, I don't see any way to faster. I'm like kind of pushing it on the flying even.
Maybe somebody could engineer you a portal. Uh-oh.
You do have a cell phone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could call anybody.
Okay, I'm going to call
So
I'm going to call Crashly.
Can I say something nuts? Wouldn't you know Chadreel?
What?
Wouldn't you know Chadreel?
Yeah, but Crashly's in Chadreel.
Oh, right.
Well, not really. Chadreel
I'm in Chadreel
is
body.
With Ryder Strong right now. It's canonically what happened is he went to go help him.
Right. So I'm going to call Crashly.
Yeah, and Derek's not like super close with Chadreel. They're just both angels.
Yeah, we don't like all know each other.
But yes, in this moment, Derek, you start to flap your wings. You realize like, wait, I should check in. You pick up your phone. The one thing is,
holy moly, seven messages.
yeah, because somehow some part of the turkey recreated the cellular phone that you had.
Yes.
And so you check your phone, you see messages. You call Crashly. Crashly, as this horrific creature slashes at you and you feel yourself coming close to the edge of death's door, your phone rings.
I pick it up.
Great. Yeah. As it is howling, slavering over you, it's hot spittle dripping on your face as it is pushing you to the ground. You grab your phone and you see it is from Derek.
Derek. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Crashly.
Hi.
Wow, your voice.
I'm in a body, a different Crashly, body.
What are you doing?
I'm talking to Derek. Derek just called me on my phone.
Hey, Derek. I'm here.
And Adam's here, too. But we're in really, really big trouble. I'm so glad to hear from you. But, like, I'm freaking out right now.
Oh, no.
Can you get here fast? Like, can you, like, get here through, like, a portal or something?
Ooh, I could make one.
I think at that point, Crashly, that this is becoming quite a long conversation while you are underneath a giant beast.
Oh, he's pinned me? I thought he couldn't get close enough to bite. I thought he just slashed.
Oh, I guess you're right. Okay, so, so he slashed at you. Sorry, a lot has happened.
Okay.
So he slashed at you it slashed at you with its claws. You pushed it back with flame. It took three harm. Yeah. It is still coming at you. So, yeah, you're having a very panicked phone call while trying to hold the flamethrower.
And healing myself at the same time? Hear me?
No.
Okay.
I mean, just checking. Worth a shot.
I mean, you can certainly say you're attempting to do all three of those things. You have to then do those three things.
Yeah.
I mean, while she's on the phone, I'm gonna blast this guy with fire. Yeah. She's talking to Derek.
Okay, great. So then I would say, Adam Miller, while Crashly is talking to Derek, you step in. You are going to roll to kick some ass yourself.
Dang right. Oh, my God. I rolled a natural 12.
Whoa.
Hello.
Okay. So you are going to do harm to it. It can still do harm to you unless you pick something to diminish that. While you inflict harm on it, you also get to choose. You can have advantage. Oh, Jeff?
Yeah.
You are rattled. What?
Dang it.
So you need to re-roll one of those two dice.
Okay. Okay.
It succeed, right? Because you'll get a 7 lowest.
And specifically, you need to re-roll the highest dice.
Okay, they're both 6s, which is pretty cool. We all
heard it. Pretty cool. We all heard it.
Let's see. And let me see. My tough is 1. So it's like 12 again because I rolled a 5.
Hey. Wow. Okay, great.
Sick.
You're so rattled, but you know what? In this moment, you're a friggin' scientist. And you rise above it, and you hold down that trigger on the flamethrower, and you blow
it. Yeah, and this is like the tiny little lighter. So it's just like a hand.
The Fonz lighter.
Yeah. Great. So on a 10+, you get to inflict harm on it and pick one from the following. You get advantage on your next roll or can give advantage to somebody else. You inflict extra harm. You take less harm yourself. You force it where you want, or you take something from it.
Let's see. So we're in this car shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there like oil somewhere?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's, there's what you believe is like some cans of oil, you know, like a big drum.
I want to force it over by the big drum of oil.
Okay, great. Yeah. You, angle it in such a way that it goes there. It does get close, and you are going to take. This is a moment where it's like a kick some ass, right? So you inflict harm on each other. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. It is not the one inflicting harm on you. The other one is, as you feel a bite on the back of your neck, in your shoulder.
As I knew it.
You take 3 harm from the other one getting the drop on you, and you realize it is right on top of you.
I'm dying.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
And so you just go down hard.
Oh.
Crashly, you watch. Adam moves it over, manages to move it over while you're on the phone with Derek. You're kind of screaming to him back and forth. And then you watch this thing drop from the shadows, take Adam to the ground.
Oh.
And you are there panicked. Crashly, what do you say in this moment to Derek?
I say, I got to go. It looks like Adam's about to die. So I'm going to hang up.
What?
No, that's not true. I'm going to tell him where we are. I'm going to be like, we're in Berora, Nebraska. I need you to get here as soon as you can. And then I'm going to get off the phone.
Okay, great. The phone goes dead on you. Derek, what do you do, Derek?
I fly there. I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to get there any faster.
Would Derek think about the possibility that Susan is a magic user and could... Like, I'm fine with it if you don't do it, but I just want to throw it, like, make sure that that's not a thing that later... It's like, oh, I would have done that if you had mentioned it. It's like, absolutely, you could call Susan and ask her to portal you in.
Yeah, let's do that. Beep, okay. Boop, beep, boop.
So we're going to cut over then to CEJ, Shamanda, and Susan. Susan, you're standing over. CEJ and Shamanda have loosely healed. They are still in pretty rough shape. Both of them are in grievous shape. They both have 5 harm, but they are currently stable. You're sort of standing over them, standing guard in the Bramer Community Center, watching them all. What are the 3 of you talking about in this moment? You just got off the phone with Crashly. You know that she and Adam are encountering something awful. Susan, what are you doing in this moment?
I'm just like trying to be very reassuring, but I think it's coming off like maybe almost like a little creepy or flippant. You know, where it's like, yeah, I actually think this is going really well. And I think, you know, I'm having a good time with you guys.
Shamanda, how is that landing for you?
Shamanda, if her eyes were like, if she could roll her eyes hard enough to be like stuck in that position, you know, when Liz Lemon gets them stuck in her eyes, of just like, Susan, be realistic. Okay. I'm basically got shot. Okay, 20 minutes until something goes down. We don't even know where Adam and Crashly are. And Dragline, she came in the room and she said, another failed audition. That was the most bitchy thing she could have done.
Oh,
things
no, that
are bad,
was rude.
And it's your birthday tomorrow. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have anything planned.
What?
I don't. Okay, I've been going through a lot and I'm freaking embarrassed and I feel stupid. No.
Oh, no, you know what? Don't cry. You don't have to cry. Everything's good.
I don't know.
Don't cry.
Okay.
CEJ,
You're both crying. No, I'm not gonna lie. I'm having a tinnitus thing like pretty hard right now, so I didn't catch everything you just said. But I gotta tell you, I can cry too. I'm hurting pretty bad.
That's right. And I just give a big hug. That's right.
Ow,
buddy.
My back. All blisters.
Now I want to check in on this just in this moment. Is this a moment? Because I could see it easily being either of this being the case. This seems to me like either this is a moment where Susan and Shamanda are each taking a condition, or a moment where they are dealing with the feels and clearing conditions. I can't tell. So I want to see which one feels more true for you two.
I think tears are healing in my book.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. In this point, like, you know, Shamanda's been on the brink of death, has come back on the other side and is realizing like, oh, you've not made very smart decisions.
Great.
And this is the reality of the situation.
Susan, go ahead and roll plus weird then. This is you offering support or comfort to Shamanda.
Got a 9.
A 9? Great. You can remove her embarrassed condition, but only after you either admit something embarrassing yourself or make a bold gesture.
I wish I could think of a bold gesture that was healing.
I've been a surgeon this whole time.
Yeah. I was trying to see if there's anything I could do like Tori Powell's-ish where I get hurt so that you heal some, but I don't really have anything.
I mean, a bold gesture doesn't have to be a foolhardy gesture.
Well, that's true. So I guess I am just going to get down and look right in Shamanda's eyes and just be like, I know you've been going through so much and haven't been the best version of yourself, but you don't deserve any of this. You are such a good kid.
Yeah, honestly, and I think like the gesture there is Susan being honest with Shamanda that like Shamanda has been fucking up, right? Mm-hmm. Like being like, I'm not going to tell you that you're great, like, or that you've been making the right choice. And Shamanda, it is having Susan be there and confirm your fears, but also tell you that she's still cares about you and thinks that you're a good person. I think that like that's something that's pretty powerful. So your condition, unless you want to keep it, you can resolve your embarrassed condition.
I want to resolve it for sure.
Great. Yeah. So you go back to no conditions and you're all there. And then Susan, you get a phone call. What is your ringtone? I just realized we've never established.
It's Rod Stewart's Glad Bags and Hand Rags.
Wow, yeah, you are a super fan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you get a phone call, and you see on the caller ID that it appears to be from Derek Feather.
Oh, hello, Susan Wexler.
Susan.
Derek?
Yeah, it's me, Derek.
Oh, my birthday's not till tomorrow, but you're so sweet.
Oh, if you think I forgot and I don't know when your birthday is, you are out of your mind.
I have missed you.
I know. I'm going to have a big... Oh, actually, wait. I'm not supposed to tell you about that because it's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
I almost ruined it. Can you imagine?
I can't.
Oh, Crashly's in really bad trouble.
I know.
Okay.
But no. Where are you?
Me? I'm on the riverbank. I think I'm hanging out with Jan Vincent.
Can you get here?
Wait, is that his name?
Jan Vincent?
No.
Jan Michael Vincent.
Jim
Ness. That's a guy from the Rick and Morty episode.
What's the name? What's his actual
Jim
name?
Jim Nast.
Tyler just told
Jim
you.
Jim Nast. I'm hanging out with Jim Nash on a river. I think I'm a turkey now.
We're not hanging out. I just want to go.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, Gymnast.
You just hear Gymnast splashing down the riverbanks, running away.
He is going to ruin those chinos.
Are you where you last saw Crashly?
Yeah.
Great. Stand right there.
Okay. Talk to you later.
No. Stay on the line. Tyler. Oh,
hello?
I'm going to try to open a portal.
Yes, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's see here then, Susan. Let's see. So that would be, of the spell options, I guess that would be summoning a monster into the world.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that makes sense to me. I'm gonna say, I think this isn't huge. This isn't full big magic, but this is a little more than a regular spell. So I think there is one other element that you're going to need for this. Susan, as you prepare to do this spell, how does the spell work? You know, how does Susan, what does Susan usually likes to use chants for her spells.
Mm-hmm. It's a chant and blood spell, so I'm going to have to spill a little bit of my blood.
Okay.
Just like a little finger prick.
Yeah, you're also going to have to spill one other thing, which is a lie.
The tea.
You know, this is a little bit more than just a regular spell. You need to do a little bit extra for it. And one of the things you need to give up for this is a lie.
So I'm so sorry. The wording, for some reason, I'm tripping. I need to lie to Derek, or I need to confess to a lie that I've told?
A little bit, I guess more the latter. But you're not necessarily confessing to a lie. You just need to say what a lie is. So you don't need to say what the truth is instead. You just need to say the lie into the ether so that the universe, do you know what I mean? Like, you're just telling the lie and acknowledging that it is a lie. It is not mm-hmm. about replacing it with truth or anything like that. It is just okay. being like, this is a lie that I tell.
Okay. Well, if this is not high stakes enough, please let me know. But I'm just going to be like, I've never been honest about my age.
That's pretty huge. That's a pretty big lie to admit.
Okay. Wait, is tomorrow not your birthday?
It is. It's just a very different birthday than you think.
Oh, no, I don't have enough candles.
No, you do not.
Oh, man.
Susan, roll plus weird.
9.
Susan, this is just about the most devastating thing you could have possibly told me.
Susan, there is a glitch to this portal that you are doing. Let's see, which of these do you want for your glitch? That it's weakened, that it's of short duration, that you take harm, that it draws immediate unwelcome attention, or that there's a problematic side effect?
Okay, here's the I'm in such a giggly mood. I think either A, I take harm, okay. or B, my other option was that Derek comes through a little more turkey than he
that was. Yeah, if you would pick
side that effect, what you were thinking
yeah
too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, it's up to you. Do you want it to be a side effect or you take harm?
Alan, would you want to play that, or do you want me to take
roll for it?
What do you mean by that? Odds, nice. Odds, you turkey.
Yeah.
Evens, I take harm.
Odds, you turkey. Even, me take harm.
Okay. Even, I take harm. So I take harm.
Okay, great. You take one harm, Susan, as you sort of steel yourself and you say the chant. What is the chant again?
Come to me, my friend. Come to me. We'll meet our end.
And this does make sense. You did say that there's blood involved as well. So you also need to presumably cut yourself.
Yeah. So I guess that could kind of be the harm.
Yeah. So you take your blessed knife and.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm just going to like prick my finger at first and it like doesn't, nothing seems to be happening. So I'm just going to, and for the sake of time, just like slice my palm a little bit.
Yeesh. Yeah. Ouch. You do that. I always wonder why people don't slash the back of their hand because you use that less, you know?
I think there are tendons there.
Yeah,
I
feel like you don't.
But if you're just trying
that.
To get blood, you don't have to go that deep. Anyway, okay, so you do that. Yeah, it's, you take one harm, and you watch before you the familiar shape of a bounce portal appear. You can see on the other side of it, Derek standing there. Well, Derek, are you clothed?
Yeah.
Okay, so through his pants, you can see two turkey spurs ripped through. Like 4-inch spurs just sticking out of the back of his legs. But otherwise, it's Derek just the way that you've always seen him. Derek, you look through and you see Susan there with Shamanda and CEJ.
What? Where's Crashly?
Step on through. She's just a few blocks away.
Okay. And I step on through. And even though I'm through the portal now, I'm still talking to Susan on the phone.
And I have my phone up to my ear as well.
Okay. Well, where's Crashly?
She's at the Roar Co-op here. I'll show you on the map.
Whoa, CEJ and Shamanda, you look really badly hurt.
Yeah, we got really hurt, Derek, but you're looking swole and gobbly. Yeah.
And yeah. Here's a question. CEJ, have you ever met Derek before?
Yeah, he goes to my school and we went, we've certainly met outside of the Christmas possessed house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
well,
right.
That wasn't CEJ, though. That was that Salamander.
That's
oh,
true.
That's right.
That was Salamije.
Salamije.
Yeah. So you do know him. CEJ, what is your relationship with Derek like?
He's just, as far as I know, he's just that weird kid who goes to school with me and then started hanging out with the gang after I stopped hanging out with the gang.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait, what is this kid doing here? What? Really? Wait, Susan, really?
CEJ, don't be weird about this
guy.
Yeah, he's gonna help us.
Wait, really though?
CEJ,
Like what? Like I left for like a minute and then like what? You roped in just like some other kid?
He's an angel.
Okay. I mean, I could be nicer.
Okay. Derek, go ahead and get to Crashly. But when you come back, we might need some heals.
Okay. I'll see you all very soon. Shamanda?
Yeah?
I really like the style you've got going on.
Cool.
Really, dude? Really? Hold on. Wait.
No.
And that's where we're going to end our episode for today, but this session didn't end here. So tune in next week for the fiery hot conclusion. Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a shout out on social media at Mystery County. Until next time, watch out for Turkey Lurkey time.
This happened to us last week, too.
It's like when we moved our sheets, it mutes us.
Yeah, if I come off the clean feed tab, it mutes.
Move to your sheets? What's going on?
Okay, Jack, I did say clip.
Yeah. Alan, it's funny when it's a mistake.
4 space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No King system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.